It's nice to have some music. So we'll have a semi-silent meditation to start off with. Before we go into it, I just wanted to make a small announcement about the kind of broader situation of doing a retreat at this time. So it's quite a balance for us. We're keeping ourselves kind of informed with the broader situation so that you don't have to. And we know that that's also asking a lot of you, some of you, to kind of disconnect in that way and kind of trust in us to inform you if if there's something that you need to know about. So, just so that you know, we're keeping an eye on events and, things are quieter than they were, which is good. As you can tell, because we're sitting outside, and hopefully I'll get to finish a whole talk up here. But just so if there's something important, we're not going to keep it from you, so you can kind of trust in us that we'll keep you informed. If there's relevant things to share, we will. Okay. And then within that setting, enjoy the retreat for what it is, for what it offers, for what it makes possible for us. And I want to speak a little bit more to that shortly. So let's take 10, maybe 10, 12 minutes of practice together. And I want to suggest a way of practicing which some of you will have heard before. Some of you, this might be something a bit new. One of them, it came up in one of the groups earlier, so you're hearing this for the second time, those of us who were there together. The first idea is practice in slow motion. Okay, if you notice that the mind has gone off, it's gotten distracted, it's somewhere we didn't anticipate it to be, don't rush back to the present moment. Okay, you're already in the present moment, right? There's nowhere else to get to, so slow down. Slow down there. See how it is. See how it feels to be there. Yeah. Nowhere else to get to. Just take that as an idea. It's not a truth. It's just an idea that we can practice. It's a slow motion. Breathe. Get to know. Become familiar. Yeah. The second idea in this practice is try and get an itch if you can. Try and find something that wants to be gotten rid of, moved, shuffle. You just, oh, I can't do any more of that. Try and have one of those kind of experiences. But then don't scratch the itch. Don't shuffle, don't move. Just see what happens to it. Get to watch it in slow motion. Watch it disappear. It does not have its own existence. It's very interesting. Okay, we'll talk more about that in a moment. Okay, let's have a bit of practice together. So, now we didn't scratch the itch. That's better, isn't it? I like it anyway. Make yourself comfortable, please. Whatever that might mean for you. Comfortable for some listening, and I'll share some ideas that I hope will be helpful on this path for us. So maybe the first thing to define, like, what's this path that we're on? Because sometimes we forget and we think it's, you know, it's about some lesser things like being mindful or being in the present moment or, you know, other stuff that we can get into, which are, you know, perhaps contributing to the goal of the path. But just so that you remember, this path is for the absolute disappearance of greed, hatred, and delusion. The complete disappearance of greed, hatred, and delusion. And I'm going to tell you how. But just to keep that in mind. Don't scratch the itch, slow motion. Yeah, nice ideas. But do they bring us closer to the ending of greed, hatred, and delusion? And maybe they do. So last time I was talking, I was speaking a little bit about the Bodhisattva path, the development of the paramis to become a fully awakened Buddha. And also that they're really good practices to bring into heart and mind for every moment of our existence. And they certainly do move us in that direction of dissolving, decreasing, disappearing, greed, hatred, and delusion in at least one being at a time. Yeah. But it can get infectious. Like, if people see you without greed, hatred, and delusion, they might think, ah, I'll join in. Yeah, I'll have a little bit less myself. And so this is a whole life path. It's something we can practice here in these kind of situations, but it's actually something that we can bring into the whole of our existence. And the whole of our existence has these things in common about it. So I spoke about what is an experience, like what we're paying attention to, how we're paying attention to it. And all of these moments have a degree of care and consideration, right? The whole of our path can be divided up into these three areas. The sila, the care, the kindness, finding an appropriate response, compassion, the engagement with all things from that area. Another element that is always present in this path is actually the deep gathered well-being that we are generating through what we're paying attention to, how we're paying attention to it. And hopefully we're tasting that moment to moment or coming closer into contact to that. It's accessible in all moments to some degree. Yeah, to some degree, we transcend out of our habitual patterns into something really beautiful. Yeah. So there's always sila present, there's always samadhi present. These are the Pali words for that, the care and the gathered into deeper well-being. And with that comes this more profound understanding, much richer way of seeing into life, seeing how experience is happening, seeing into the nature of experience more and more. All of this is all happening. And what that delivers to us is a more creative capacity to incorporate that understanding into a more skillful contribution to how things are happening. Yeah, this is the wisdom part, panya. So we have the care, gathering into well-being, and the deeper understanding and the more creative responses. And each aspect of that is open to being lifted, elevated, perfected. Yeah, the paramis there, carrying us to liberation, bringing to the fore the most elevated qualities of heart and mind. And this path is made from walking from, so to speak, walking, so metaphorically, walking from where we are to where we know is possible. where that we know is possible, how far can we go towards, you know, freedom? Freedom from greed, hatred and delusion, freedom from agitation, freedom from unskillful ways of expressing ourselves, freedom from narrow, limited views of what's actually possible. Yeah. So what that means is our practice is dependent on two types of wisdom. Maybe just to mention, in that description, sila and wisdom are actually paramis themselves. And samadhi, the well-being, gathered well-being, is something that all of these paramis feed into. So it's a moment about the wisdom factor, and we'll come on to it further in later talks. Two things we want to know is actually know yourself, like the Greek, ancient Greek exploration, know thyself. How am I? How am I appearing? What kind of, where am I coming into being? And also know that this experience is coming into being dependent on what I pay attention to and how I pay attention to it. If I change either ones of those, either one or both, I have a different experience. Yeah. So I can change my experience. You have to know that that's possible for you. When we forget that, forget to be able to recognize how I'm doing, we're in that state of confusion and delusion. Yeah. We're not actually aware of how we're coming into being. And we're also not aware of the parts that we can play in this experience. When we're in that state, the state has a name, and it's called dukkha. It's called stressful. It's called agitated. And it usually means that we're then going to behave in certain ways that are going to lead to further difficulty, distress, suffering for ourselves and for other beings. We're not dissolving, helping to disappear of greed, hatred and delusion. So I just want to step back into quite a simple teaching, but I think it's really relevant and it's really good if we want to wake up in the whole of our life to really pay attention to. And it's typically called hindrances. There's a Hebrew word for this. What is it? Michshulim? Yeah. Like Mick? Like a guy called Mick? Mich? Michshulim. Great. So hopefully it kind of means a similar thing as it does in English to me, which is it's something that's getting in the way of being free. Yeah, it's something that's kind of blocking it, obscuring it. And we use this word hinder, something that gets in the way of that. So we talk about them, there being five hindrances, and it's worth just recognizing that at least one of them is present right now for you, which means that you're experiencing dukkha because of this, and you may not realize it. I'm not in dukkha. So the first thing we have to confess is maybe there's a little bit of dukkha. Okay. And which one is it? Which one's present? So they typically go something like, there's a greediness that's happening now. Is I want something else that isn't here. Okay? Some of you are wanting something else that isn't here. How dare you? This is such a good talk. It's not that good, but it's going to get better. You can get greedy for that. Or there's an aversiveness. It's not the right temperature, it's, you know, I'm not as comfortable as I would be, you know, otherwise, and it's something I don't want in this experience. Or there's a sense of restlessness. Yeah, I just want to get up, I want to run, I've got too much energy, I need to go and do something else, you know. Or there's not enough energy, I can barely stay up, you know, I feel like being asleep, I want to drift out of existence and all of that. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4. And the fifth one is called doubt. Doubting the teachings, doubting the teachers, doubting the practices that we have available to us, doubting our capacity to do something about that. So that's what we typically say about them, typically how we name them. I'm going to suggest a slightly simpler idea, which is actually saying that these are just there's only three hindrances that we need to be concerned about, like three areas that we need to be concerned about. And the first one is, how's my energetics? That's the first question. Like, have I got too much energy or too little energy? Very simple kind of question to ask myself, right? And the other one is, am I pushing things away or am I grabbing them towards me, right? Am I pushing experiences away? Don't want that. Or am I trying to pull a new experience towards me or pull myself towards a new experience? Yeah, either way, I have to be less movement, stay closer to the mic. And the third one is, am I not backing myself to be able to do this? Is there like a lack of confidence in my capacity, a lack of trust in my capacity? Okay. And I would say that's pretty much a given, that one. So you almost don't need to worry about that. Yeah, I'm actually lacking in confidence, true confidence of really believing that I can do something radically different with this experience, right? I will typically believing this is the way it is. I have two choices, fight it or give up. Yeah. But no, there's a lot more that you can do. And that's what I want to speak about. So I don't know if you remember, one of the paramis that we mentioned was honesty, being honest about how things are. Okay. And so the first step of honesty is you got to recognize that things are not perfect. There is some dukkha here. And there's going to be one of the hindrances present. Right? This is happening. There's a hindrance happening. And I may not recognize it. I sometimes have thought about this idea that the Buddha can see that we are actually imprisoned in dukkha. And he's going to like break into this prison, come up through the concrete floor and appear out of this hole and says, I've come to break you out of prison. And we turn back and say, I'm not in prison. Like, what are you up to? Yeah, you've just dug through the floor, you crazy guy. You know, I'm not in prison. So we have to be honest. You say, okay, I didn't even know I was, right? So this takes honesty. It also takes humility. We didn't do this on purpose. The humility factor, yeah? Like normally when we're honest, it's like, okay, I got it all wrong and I'm sorry. But actually the humility factor is important here. The humility is actually also saying, I didn't know what I was doing and I'm going to change, right? We can change. It's like this right now. However it is, if there's greed, if there's aversion, if there's restlessness, if there's dullness, if there's doubt, it's like this right now. And it will change. It will change. And we can play a part in that. I didn't mean to do it like this, but I can change. I can change what I'm doing moment to moment. Past is gone, the future yet to come. But this moment, I can start moving in that direction. That honesty just by itself, that acknowledgement just by itself actually does a huge amount. That could be enough sometimes. It's like, oh, it's like this. Because there's so much resistance, rejection, ignoring going on in our experience. Just that recognition is wonderful. Just that honesty. But we can go further. We can go further into a more profound peace. A more delightful happiness is available for us. But we must know that hindrances are happening. Yeah. If they weren't happening to the slightest degree, then we would be a Buddha. Okay? Which would be a big claim, because we're talking like apparently multiple lifetimes of developing these paramis, which I don't remember doing that. So I'm probably not. Probably there's a hindrance here. And if I'm not seeing it, I'm just probably not sensitive enough. I need to be more sensitive, okay? If you're having a hindrance, you're a human being, okay? You're part of the human species, okay? Which I know it's a bit of a mistake and it's a bit of a downer to remember once again, oh, those guys, they're not so good, are they? I mean, they're not like bunnies or friendly dogs and, you know, humans. God. But okay, that's who we are, right? And, you know, maybe we have Buddha nature within there, let's hope. But it's obscured, right? It's hindered at this moment. And that's our task, uncover the freedom. So we hear about hindrances and they initially sound like a problem to get rid of. Okay, but we don't really need that attitude, right? We're trying to get rid of the hatred. Yeah, it's not like, here's another thing you can hate, hindrances. So it's not like that. But actually, it's more, maybe think of them like a recipe. And they're an ingredient in a recipe. And you could have too much of a certain ingredient, but if you didn't have all of those ingredients, you wouldn't be able to make everything. Yeah. So, you know, if tomorrow in the kitchen they serve us up a plate of dry flour, you think, that's a shame. But if we then said, I don't want a plate of flour, I'm going to get all of the flour out of the kitchen so that they can't serve up flour. And then we have no flour in the food for the rest of the time. Yeah, that would be a stupid thing to do. But maybe we, no. So we're not going to do that. And we're not going to do the same about hindrances, right? Having greed in itself, having a desire for more, isn't something wrong, but it's where we place it, it's how we use it, how central it gets, how out of harmony it becomes, right? So all of the hindrances, the push, the pull, the too much, the too little, they're pattern languages, they're things that we can get to understand, experiences that we can feel into and feel how it feels and feel in that, what does it need? What do I need to do here? Maybe what do I need to release? What do I need to encourage? What do I need to open? What do I need to guide myself more towards? Right? There's things that we can do. We're empowered in this. Right? And then they can actually become a foundation for freedom. These activities become a foundation for freedom. So knowing one or more of these so-called hindrances is going to be present. And knowing that they're present is an invitation to elevation, yeah, an invitation to elevate, to move into, move beyond, in all of those three ways, yeah, that care, that well-being, that deeper understanding. There's more that we can do in those ways. So any of the practices that we've already been doing are great. They're already great. And they show to us that there's things that we can do in relationship to our experience. So I like to think of our path starting with this honesty factor. It's okay, it's like this right now. This is how it is. If you can't accept that this is how it is, there's no real next step for us, is there? Right? I accept it's like this right now. Right now. Not forever, but right now it's like this. And it will change. So wise acceptance is kind of different than unwise acceptance or stupid acceptance. Yeah, the unwise acceptance would be like, well, this is how it is. You're like, oh, okay. But why is it like this? Well, because I'm acting in this way. Oh, okay. What if you didn't act in this way? So the wise acceptance understands, is that, okay, I'm playing a part in it being like this. But if I say it's not like this, because I'm not really playing my part in that way, well, that would also be dishonest, right? Not helpful. So it is like this. And it's part of coming into being this way because of how I'm acting, because of the magic that I'm bringing into being. And I can bring in different magic. I can bring in more mindfulness, remain more alert, remain more persistent, playful in my experience. I can ease the contraction, soften, lengthen the breath. Yeah. I can bring in more kindness and practice more kindness. And when we do those things, it's really important to notice how that changes experience. Yeah. It's a little bit like magic. It's like casting a spell, or it's like doing a magical trick. It's like you're doing something to your experience. And you could be like, yeah, well, you know, that's what happens if you do that. But isn't that amazing? You can actually change your experience. You know, some people shared in the group about really just feeling this sense of a lot of happiness come into the being. Just from doing meditation practice, just from paying attention to their experience in certain ways. Is that normally where people think happiness comes from? But something is available there. Why? Why is it available there? And anyone who's described that experience, I think that what they'll see is that there was a fading back of pushing things away, pulling things towards us, getting agitated with too much energy, getting, you know, dull with too little energy, and lacking a confidence in our capacity to be able to meet experience in more and more skillful ways. That is to say that happiness is revealed when the hindrances fade. Happiness is revealed, uncovered, comes into being as these hindrances fade. And so we can play a part in fading them. When that hindrance of doubt is really present, we feel like there's nothing we can do. Yeah, we feel like we can't change things. The only thing in life you can't do is actually keep things the same. Like, try and keep this moment the same. It's very hard, especially when they keep... I mean, that's definitely the same music. And it's still as good as it was. And then we forget to listen. So keeping it the same, that's the real impossibility, okay? Just to be really clear, this isn't actually a retreat practice only. Right, this is for the whole of our life. The hindrances will be present in the whole of our life. And if we want, I think that we can treat this as a practice to do in the whole of our life. As we're walking down the street, as we're talking to our family or friends, as we're doing our work or whatever, we can actually ask ourselves, what hindrance is present right now? I would recommend doing this at the beginning of a practice session. You come in, as you settle in to the walking, to the sitting, and just ask, what hindrance is most dominant right now? Yeah. Don't know if anyone ever practices this way. It's the happiness practice of noticing what's wrong. Yeah. But, you know, it helps. And for this reason, I realized that there's an English word that covers all of the hindrances in the typical way that they're talked about. And the word is drags. Which is nice because they also kind of drag us down. Yeah. So D is for doubt. R is for restlessness. A is for aversion. Oh, we're getting there. G is for greed. And S is for sluggishness, which is a word in English that we use for dullness. Yeah. And I used to use it a lot for the hindrances. Okay. So we have this five-letter word, drags. And like, which of these drags is present for me? And I use this in my day-to-day life when I'm, you know, about to do something or, you know, engaging with something, got to go and do the washing up, and I say, which hindrances are present now? All of them. Okay, good. Yeah. Or some of them. And then I sometimes see, does it make a word? It's not, but drags, yeah. It's like, you can use it. I used to use it in a journal as well. It's like a checklist. It's either present or it's not. Right? It's either dominant or it's not. Who's here right now? Yeah, who's here right now? Kind of defines how I'm going to be. We'll come on to this point maybe later in the teachings, but one of the points around not self in the teachings is that there's no essence to us, but we appear as an activity, right? We're an activity. And this drags is a description of the activity that we're bringing in, which is going to contribute towards dukkha. So what is it? It's restlessness and aversion. Good for washing up, yeah. I probably really cleaned the plates well. But it's just to get to know. I'm coming into my meditation practice. There's a lot of restlessness and aversion. What am I going to practice? Maybe spaciousness and with metta. Yeah, that'll help. That'll contribute in a different way. Yeah, is this making sense? Yeah, I want to make it like practicable. I want to be something that we can do. Another way, depending, like if you have a different kind of way of seeing things, is I was thinking about the hindrances on a like quadrant, like four quadrants. This might not be helpful for anyone at all, but let's just say, like we could see it as a map, yeah, like these four areas. doubt is a given, okay? The lack of confidence, we're just, that's included for free, right? With every hindrance, you get that, right? The more and more we're going to build up our confidence in our capacity to be able to do something, and that's what we're bringing in once we realize, oh, I'm somewhere on this matrix, yeah? So we could say that, like, restlessness is over to the right. That's your right, isn't it? Yeah. And dullness is over to the left. So there's this kind of arrow going like this. Yeah, the mic is maybe too low. Okay, is that better? So restlessness over here, dullness over here. And let's put greediness up here and aversion down here, pushing away here, pulling towards here. In any moment, you're going to be somewhere on this map, aren't you? Right? Like, very kind of restless and very greedy. I want it and I want it now. Yeah. Or, I think I've gone too high. Now I need to sit up. Or maybe we've got that kind of dull greed. You know, we're just kind of hanging on. I just want it. I haven't got any. Just don't take it away from me. Or we've got this kind of restless aversion. Like, we are on the attack. Like, you better watch out because I'm coming for you, right? I've really got full energy and aversion at the same time. Or this other kind, you know, the really kind of dull aversion. I don't like you. I don't like this, but I can't be bothered to do anything about it. Yeah, that kind of really low energy aversion. I thought, oh, it's really helpful for me to kind of just think, where am I on this map? And the interesting thing about this map then is that we've got this central point. Yeah. You heard this idea that, you know, it's like a wheel goes around, that the axis doesn't move. Yeah, that still point in the center of it all. And if we pull back from restlessness and don't go all the way into dullness, we have this area here of quite vibrant tranquility, quite alive. Yeah. But not pushing, not pulling on things. It's like that area is like, actually, I'm not aversive. I'm not grasping on. And as we move through our day, we actually move into this zone quite regularly. Right? Some of you might be in there now. It's like, hey, it's nice here. That moment of harmonization, we feel confidence in ourselves, feel awake in our capacity to do something. So yeah, it's an oversimplified way of describing who we are, but just finding that location for us. So, oh yeah, how restless, how aversive, where are we? And that middle space, I think it starts to speak to the paramis that are there, actually. Yeah. I think they're on the board now, and you can kind of just check them out. They're the goal of our wise response. And we're going from reactivity to harmony. So the first thing to resolve, of course, is that lack of confidence. There is something I can do now. And that's what I quite like about this slow motion. Slow motion. It's like, oh, it's like this. This is how it is. And actually, how is it? And how is it to feel that? How is it to meet that without the usual rejection? Yeah, and that honesty. But in that wise acceptance is also, ah, there's other ways possible for me to be. Other ways I can bring in. And that wise acceptance is not dull acceptance, it's creative. There's something that maybe has never happened before for us. So I'm going to meet this in a different way, I'm going to resolve this in a different way. And this brings us to the parami of virya, of energy, of effort, of like bringing our presence into this situation for freedom. And it basically is saying there is something that we can do here, and we have to recognize that maybe the way it already is needs to change. Okay, so one of the difficulties with the hindrances is actually where they're heading. If we take the ones of greediness and aversiveness, it's not actually that bad to want something more or to want to have less of something. But it tends to kind of go out on what we might call the horizontal, yeah, the material level. But this whole path is actually based on transcending something. Yeah, so it's kind of going into the vertical. So we're typically moving on this horizontal way. We want to go into something more beautiful, more wholesome, more skillful, more delightful, which means we're going to let go of unskillful, unwholesome ways of being. So what does that mean? It means that there's a teaching called the four right efforts or exertions or applications of energy, let's say, yeah. And it's the working to bring into being beautiful qualities that are not currently present. We use our effort, we use our energy, we use our creativity to be able to bring into being more wholesome ways of relating, more care, more kindness, more spaciousness, where that's what's needed. And we make that effort and we persist with that effort and we become creative in that pursuit. We also make the effort to not allow unhelpful, unwholesome, unskillful qualities to come into being. We make that effort, and when we see, oh, I'm getting drawn into this, yeah, getting pulled into a story or I'm being pulled into a fantasy, we're like, no, stop. Skillful, stop. Not going to go there. I'm better than that. Okay. It's very, very tempting, isn't it? It's like we're in a fantasy and we suddenly realize, oh, I'm off in a fantasy. It's like, oh, maybe I'll just finish it. It's like, I could come back to the breath, but no, I'm not sure where this is going. Exactly, I probably am. And then it's like, it's never quite as good. So really resisting that. If we find that there's a good quality present, then can we maintain it? Can we sustain it once it's there? So the first is this working to give rise to this beautiful quality. And when there we find, there's gratitude, there's generosity, there's kindness here. Can I keep it going? If I find I'm having a moment where the hindrances have disappeared and I'm feeling, it's really just quite pleasant. Can I sustain that? Can I enjoy that? Can I appreciate it without grabbing on? Yeah, it's like you can appreciate and enjoy things, beautiful things. And if we find ourselves that, we're fully in there, we're having a complete hindrance attack and we're getting overwhelmed with all these things, can we just stop for a moment? Recognize this is how it's happening in slow motion. Start to dissolve the contributing factors. Yeah, start to dissolve the contributing factors. And that's what I want to speak about, a little bit about these antidotes to the practice. So if you're finding yourself in this part of the matrix with a lot of restless energy, yeah. Basically, I find describing the experience usually starts to reveal a way out of it. So I think of this as being too much energy for the amount of space that there is. And so we could tackle the problem from the let's get less energy. And that's kind of difficult because you've got to grab it and collect it and put it somewhere. And I don't know, what do you do with energy? But the easier part is actually let's just make more space. There's always more space, isn't there? Like there's more space that you could pop into your consciousness now. Like there's the space behind you. I mean, there's so much space above you. So you could occupy that space. Remembering, that space, at least you could go for the space from here to, I don't know, the moon. If the moon's up, and you could include that much space above you. You could use your ears and listen to the most distant sound. And the sounds behind you, and Maybe there's even sounds above you. Can you hear above you? Maybe you can. So now we've got a little bit more space. If you keep that space open, quite gently, you don't need to push it out, it's just naturally out there. Now there's a lot of energy, maybe still, but there's a lot more space. So that can be really helpful. If there's also a lot of energy, it can be really helpful to soften the face. Actually start to dissolve the body a little bit. Because that barrier, that boundary again, yeah, we can allow that to expand. Belly can soften. Good one for this is an exhalation. That exhalation, maybe you allow the body to dissolve somewhat. Yeah. We're not doing this to get rid of the energy. It's like an ingredient. Yeah, we've got a lot of energy. Right? It's not that we want zero energy, but we want to harmonize that with the amount of space. Does that make sense? Yeah. And it's possible for you. It's possible for you. Right? Don't lack your confidence in this capacity. If we have, we're over on this side, the kind of the dullness side, the lack of energy side. What's helpful there for you? Right? Maybe it's actually being more gathered. Maybe it's the other side, the inhalation. Maybe have an inhalation and keep it within for a while. Or make the inhalation longer, more dominant, more loud. And maybe you breathe in and upwards into the being. You can also breathe in and upwards with illumination. You're allowed to use your imagination in the practice. It's not so much that you're allowed. It's actually, we couldn't find a way to stop you. You were imagining breaths as anatomical things or whatever else. So go for it. Just imagine it full with illumination. Imagine the cells of the body dancing and coming alive. Like, is this Dabka? I don't know. Whatever music this is, it's all the cells of your body dancing to like, oh yeah, getting into this. Yeah, getting into the breath, the inhalation. And again, if you need it, we can also do another one with stretching out the space. And this one, we just feel like we're pushing out the space, pushing it out. I don't know if Sarah was mentioning this today. Thing. Mildly, okay. You can actually feel that in that experience of dullness, it's like we're an uninflated balloon or we're inside an uninflated balloon. What an experience to be in. It's like, just imagine pushing out that balloon. And it kind of stays out for a little bit. You just keep pushing it out, keep pushing it out, keep pushing it out. Admittedly, it takes a bit of energy, but it's not that you have no energy, it's that it's stuck. The energy's stuck. And we're just like opening it out and just keeping pushing that out. And then we're not going to use our hands. I'm just miming it to demonstrate. It's almost like we're just pushing out with our attention, extending, expanding the body sense. And see what that does to the energy. Yeah, if you've got low energy now, just like stretching it out just a little bit. Out the back of the body as well, about hands width, stretching out that way. And then breathing in and out within that space. It's quite an energized state to be in. And then after a few breaths, just relax again. And then when you need it again, 3-4 breaths, stretching it out, keeping it stretched out. Okay, so there's things that we can do. We've got ingredients, but we want to make a meal out of it. So we need to bring in some other ingredients through how we pay attention, what we pay attention with. Okay, then we had this other axis on the matrix, the greediness, the aversiveness there. So yeah, okay. We might be sitting here having a greedy thought. It's like, oh, I hope it's mashed potatoes for food or whatever, you know. It's like, oh, I smelt something. Oh, is that our lunch? Is it? Oh, is that the whatever? You know, it's like something's happening there. And this is dukkha. This is the hindrance. Let's turn it around. Okay, we've got appreciation for the cooks or for the food or for the aromas or whatever, and just appreciating that, just enjoy it. It's like good smells. I'm already happy. I don't need something else. I don't need to get there into the future moment. I can enjoy this one. Or another one, you know, if you're sitting here, you know, creating some kind of shopping list of things you're going to get later on in life, and it's like, oh, I like their cushion. I'm going to get a cushion like this, you know, whatever desires come up for you. that's the best I could do. But, you know, so maybe imagine giving it away to someone. You know, generosity with that desire. So, that'd be really great to give to someone else. Yeah. I don't need to get more stuff. I'm already happy. Look at me. I'm happy. Of course I am. Yeah, and have a nice breath. Yeah, stretch out. Do some of that stuff. Yeah, have a good experience now instead. People are speaking about it. There's happiness in this hall. It's possible. And then, of course, sometimes the mind is going to go into the aversion, into what's not good, you know, what I don't want, what I'm rejecting. You know, it's too much this, too much that, whatever else. This can be more tricky. You know, we can get stuck in this area. And for some of us, it can really be that way. And things I'm worried about, anxious about, all of those. But is there anything in your experience that you're overlooking? Something that you could be appreciating? Is there some quality about this being you're considering that actually they have something great about them, or we can turn more towards the compassion side? How they suffer, how they struggle. What a difficult thing it is to be a human being, to feel pain. They're going to lose something if they haven't already. Yeah, they do experience these things. There's something that we could feel compassion for them about. It doesn't let them off the hook entirely, right? We might want to speak to them about some of those actions at some point, right? But not from a place of blame, but actually from a place of understanding and a place of compassion and kindness and wisdom. Yeah, that we can actually turn these things around in our experience. So remembering again, coming back to the top, yeah, why are we here? What's this path about? Oh yeah, the dissolving, complete dissolving, the disappearance of greed, hatred and delusion from at least one being. Yeah, that's our practice. And it's a practice of happiness. It's a practice of freedom. And we can start with what we have now and what we're overlooking, that honesty, and then making the effort. Yeah, making the effort to dissolve what can be dissolved. So let's have a quiet minute together to close out this, and I'll speak tomorrow morning, give some more instructions on how we can bring this into our practice. So thank you for your practice and your presence and your listening. And we'll have half an hour for a bit of movement practice and come back for the chanting and meditation to close out the day together at 9:00.